Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is where we're focusing today, verse 28 onwards. "But about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Jesus said to Peter, 'Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" This is one of my favourite lines in the Bible. He did not know what he was saying. "While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, 'This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him.' When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they had seen." Let's pray. Father, this is an exciting story. Father, life right now seems a million miles from this mountain and the glory of this mountain. But we ask that today you would bring this story to life in us, that it would cause us to see Jesus, the King of Heaven, our Saviour, more clearly. And that we might leave here loving him more. That we might leave here equipped to serve him. And we ask it, please, in his name. Amen. Amen. At the climax of the story that we've just read is a command, an instruction from heaven. Did you notice it? It's one instruction in this story. You find it in verse 35. It is this: listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Now, to listen to Jesus is more than just hearing. Okay, we have all had the privilege of hearing what he has to say. Listening, particularly in Luke's gospel, carries the idea of hearing and then following what he says. It's kind of a package. Think of a mobile phone shop. You go in and you get a bundle deal. Listening in Luke's gospel is not just hearing. It's a package deal where it comes with listening and believing and obeying and following. That's what it means. Listen to Jesus. It means to be a disciple, to be someone who listens to what he has to say. And it's a command at the end of our story that is as relevant for us, Silver Street Community Church, as it is for the disciples who were standing on that mountain, shaking as they entered this cloud, hearing this command. It is as relevant for us as it was for those men standing on that mountain. Listen to Jesus. It's a command from heaven for us. And here's what I want to help us think about this morning, okay? This is a command, not just for those who are up the mountain, but it's a command for us who live life down the mountain. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because this story takes place up a mountain. This glorious revealing of Jesus takes place up on top of this mountain. But where do we live? Where is Edmonton? It is not up the mountain. We live life down the mountain. We live life where it is tough to listen to Jesus. We live life where we are called to suffer for the Lord Jesus. Will you just flick with me to verse 23, a verse we looked at last week. Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. That's where we live. That's life down the mountain. A life of saying no to myself, following Jesus, whatever the cost. We follow a Saviour who suffered and bled and died for us. Life down the mountain. It is life where the glory of Jesus revealed up this mountain seems dim. Seems faded, doesn't it? That's life where we live. Life down the mountain is a place where it can be tough to listen to Jesus, this command that we're given by heaven. And now, let me just try and root that, okay? Because I want to make this real for you guys. Maybe you're thinking, is it really tough? Well, yes, it is, isn't it? So it's tough to listen to Jesus, for example, when you feel like you are the only one who follows Jesus amongst a big group of people. So boys and girls, some of you guys are in classes where you are the only person who believes in the Lord Jesus. Some of you guys are working in offices and other places where you are the only one following the Lord Jesus. Is it not tough in those circumstances to listen to Jesus? Some of us are in families where we are the only one who is trying to listen to Jesus. The package, listening and obeying, hearing and obeying. Is that not tough to listen to Jesus in that environment? It is a life where following Jesus is actually very unglamorous. I don't know, you know, when you look around here, we're not a glamorous group of people. The life of being a disciple isn't a particularly glamorous life. But it's tough sometimes to listen to what Jesus has to say. Maybe it's just tough because you're constantly in this tussle of learning to say no to your sinful desires. And saying yes to the Lord Jesus, and this war that rages in you is a hard one. And you're weary. And you're like, it's tough to listen to Jesus down the mountain. It's a tough life as well, because for some of us, we long for the glory, don't we? Wouldn't you like to have been up that mountain? I would. Wouldn't you like to share in that glorious moment? I would. But actually, so often we want to be there, but we don't want to walk the path that gets to glory, which is the path our Saviour chose of suffering. And so when life down the mountain is tough, where we live, listening to Jesus is tough, what do we need? What do you need this morning? What do I need when life is tough? Can I tell you what we need? We need to see the glory of Jesus. You need to see the glory of Jesus. You need to see the glory of the one that heaven is telling you to listen to. Just look at verse 32 in our story. This is what happens. It's a great moment. They're sleepy. It's obviously taking place at night. They're sleepy. They're dull. But when they become fully awake, what are we told? What are we told? What did they see? They saw his glory. They saw Jesus in his fullness. They saw who he really was. The curtain was pulled back, as it were, for a moment, and they saw Jesus. I don't know, do you guys like going to firework displays? You ever been to a firework display? I love firework displays, okay? I absolutely adore going to them. Every opportunity, I'd happily go. But they're really weird things. So where I grew up, it's not like here where there's so much kind of man-made light. I grew up kind of in the sticks. And when you went to a firework display, it was dark before everything got going. I mean, it was really dark. So you'd be standing in this field, kind of in this mass of people, waiting for the fireworks to start. And you couldn't see anything. You could make out that there were shadows of people around you, but you couldn't see faces. You know, you didn't know who was next to you. You didn't know who was on the other side of the field. It was pitch black. And then what would happen? Whoosh, boom! Firework would go off. And suddenly, for a moment, everything would light up. You had that moment? And if you're not watching the fireworks, what do you see? You see everyone's faces. Oh, woo. And you can't see them. And then the firework fades. And what happens again? Goes back to complete darkness. Have you ever had that moment, or is it just me? You're looking really blank at me this morning. But it is a firework moment where it's pitch black, but suddenly, for a split second, everything becomes clear. And that's what happens on this mountain. It is a firework moment. Out of the darkness, out of the dullness of life down the mountain, suddenly they get a full glimpse. The firework explodes and they see the glory of who Jesus really is before it fades back to black. When it's tough to follow Jesus, what do we need? We need a firework moment. We need to see the glory of Jesus. And that, friends, I think is one of the reasons why we have this story. It's a story for you and I, so that we can sit here at Silver Street Community Church, sitting at the bottom of the mountain where it's tough to follow Jesus. And we can say, hey, guys, let's have a firework moment. That we can enjoy this story, and we can enjoy for a moment seeing in this fullness the glory of Jesus. This story, friends, is help from heaven for you and me as we do life down the mountain. And so when it's tough to follow Jesus, the first thing that we need to see, if I can get this working. Is that right? There you go. When it's tough to follow Jesus, the first thing we need to see is his glory, the glory of his identity. I was reading a story, I can't remember when, a few weeks ago, about the CEO of Starbucks Coffee. And the CEO had decided to just go into one of the Starbucks coffees and to get a cup of coffee, as you do, because he's a coffee owner. And he goes in, but the person serving him had absolutely no idea who he was. And so the CEO was kind of bantering with the person. You know, she even wrote his name on the cup. You know, this the name which is plastered actually all over Starbucks walls and things like this. But she had no idea who he was. His identity was hidden. Now think about it. Just like that lady serving the CEO of Starbucks coffee, it may have been a little bit like that for the disciples hanging around with Jesus, wasn't it? They kind of had some idea that he was pretty special, but they didn't really know his full identity. They couldn't really see who he was. But in this mountain moment, the identity of Jesus is revealed. If you're in any doubt who Jesus is, this mountain moment reveals it. It reveals it in all its glory. Look at verse 29. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. You know, that's you get these Daz adverts and flash, you know, whatever it is, you know, varnish, vanish, stain removal stuff. You know, get your clothes white. Well, this was whiter than that. This was heaven's glory shining out of Jesus, and they see a glimpse of the splendor that Jesus had before the world began. Heaven's splendor shining through heaven's sun. And this is a glimpse of the glory that Jesus set aside to come to earth to save people like you and me. It tells us in Corinthians, one of the letters, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. What's that talking about? The setting aside of this glory where normally his existence is he shines like lightning. Because that's how perfect and that's how pure he is. And at the moment in this story, when this identity of Jesus is revealed, it says, verse 32, they saw his glory. They saw this brightness. Now, what is it talking about? It's not just that they saw that he was shining. What they saw was his godness. What they saw was his goodness. What they saw was his identity on display. And as the story progresses, you know, this glory shining in front of them, a cloud descends, and then it's not just what they see, but it's what they hear. Because heaven confirms to them who is standing in front of them. A cloud descends, which is often symbolic in the Bible of the presence of God. Think of the tabernacle filled with a cloud. Think of the pillar of cloud that traveled before them. Think of the temple that was filled with clouds. Think of Moses at the top of the mountain. It was clouds. Why? Because that often represents the presence of God. And this presence of God descends, and out of this cloud they hear a voice that confirms that Jesus is heaven's Son. It is God the Son. Look at what it says, verse 35. Listen in again. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Son of God. Son of the Father. One with the Father. Is that your view of Jesus? But that's what heaven does. That's what we're seeing here. He is the chosen one. Now, in some ways, that could just mean he's chosen in the sense that he's especially loved by the Father, which is true and fits with what we know elsewhere. But actually, it's more than that. This is the one, heaven says, who's gloriously been chosen for the task of saving sinners like us. This is heaven's reigning King. And actually, in this moment, Peter, who's standing there on the mountain, he writes about it later. It was clearly a big deal for Peter, okay? Being up this mountain, seeing what he saw was a big deal for Peter. And he writes about it in one of his letters a bit later to the churches. And he puts it like this. He says, when we were up that mountain, he says, we saw his majesty. We saw his kingly splendor. And that is the identity of Jesus. That is who he really is. And in this moment, this firework moment on the mountain, his identity is revealed. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the chosen one, the Messiah, heaven's glorious King. And friends, when it is tough to follow Jesus, when you find it tough to listen to him, wherever he's put you, whatever you're doing, you need to see the glory of his identity. You need to remember the mountain moment that revealed to us is who Jesus really is. The Son of God. When the glory is dull, when it seems dim, when you're thinking, who is this Jesus that I'm following? Then you need to remember the mountain and see his glory. You don't just listen to a prophet. That's what people will tell you. Jesus is just a prophet. You're not just listening to a prophet. You're not just listening to a good teacher. Who are you listening to? You're listening to the Son of God, the chosen one, the one who is heaven's King. So remember the mountain. Remember his glory. Secondly, when it's tough to follow Jesus, we need to see the glory of the cross. I have the joy, occasionally, and I use the word loosely, the word joy, of helping my children with homework. And children, just block your ears for a moment, if that's okay. I'm actually not very good at it. I'm not very good at helping my kids with their homework because they've learned all sorts of ways to do things that I just don't have a clue about. And especially when the maths homework comes out, man, it's like another league compared to me. And I often come out with the phrase, Are you sure that's how you do it? I often say that. Are you sure that's the right way? Are you sure that's the method that you're meant to use? And, you know, miraculously, the right answer pops out from their method. But I'm questioning, are you sure? Are you sure that's the way you do it? Now, up this mountain is confirmed to us God's method for saving sinners. Is that the right way, Jesus? Is going to a cross and rising, is that really the right way? Is that really the right method? Yes, it is. And the mountain moment reveals to us the glory of the cross itself. The splendor, the magnificence of what was taking place as Jesus went to the cross. Look with me at verse 30 and 31. Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Where am I? Here we go. Verse 30, 31. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They were talking about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Up this mountain appears kind of two giants of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Two men who both had met God on the top of mountains. Two men who were representative, I guess, of the whole of the Old Testament. So this big fat bit of the Bible you've got at the front there, that is represented by Moses and Elijah. They're kind of figureheads. And here, on this mountain, they are talking with Jesus about his departure. Sounds like he's getting a train, doesn't it? The departure time. But it's metaphorical language for his death. You know, we use metaphors, don't we, about death? So-and-so passed away, or so-and-so, we lost them. You know, we use language, don't we, that's not just the word death. And here, Jesus is talking about his death. Now get this. This is amazing. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are on a mountain talking about what? The cross. That's what they're talking about. That's how he was going to depart. You see, he just told them 8 days earlier, his disciples, back in verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. The cross is heaven's plan, and here they are talking about heaven's plan to rescue sinners. You see, look with me back at verse 31 and look at that word departure. I want you to see this because I just want to help you guys to read the Bible for yourselves. But you see there, you've got a tiny little footnote. You see that? It's got a little letter A by it, the word departure. And if you go down to the bottom of the page, you'll see it's the Greek word exodos, which is the word exodus that we have in our Bibles. You see, they're talking about this exodus of Jesus. Now, with Moses standing next to you, you'd be thinking, hang on, there's another exodus that we should bring to mind, isn't there? Moses was a man in the Bible who was used of God to bring about another exodus, another rescue. God's people were slaves in Egypt. And using Moses, God rescued, he exodused people and rescued them from their slavery and brought them to himself to be his people. Now, as they're talking about Jesus' exodus, we're meant to make the link and say, well, if God used Moses to make a rescue, what's this exodus of Jesus? And actually, we're meant to see that what the cross, the departure of Jesus, is an even greater rescue than Moses brought about. It is the rescue not of being slaves to Egypt, because as far as I'm aware, none of you guys are slaves to Egypt, but it is our rescue from slavery to sin. We are slaves to sin, slaves to its wickedness and its desires. And at the cross, the Lord Jesus was rescuing sinners. He was rescuing us from the penalty of sin. At the cross, he rescued us from what our sins deserve, the punishment it deserves. At the cross, he was rescuing us from the power of sin. When you become a believer trusting in Jesus, the rescue is that sin no longer has power over you. We still war with it, but it's not your master. And then one day, the cross is about rescuing us from the presence of sin. Sin will no longer be in our world. And that's why what Jesus was doing at the cross was an exodus. And in this moment on the mountain, friends, please enjoy the glory of this, because here we see up this mountain as they talk about the cross, that the cross is the way that Jesus would bring many sons and daughters to glory. How do we share in the mountain glory? Via the cross. By trusting Jesus. There is no other path to glory than through what Jesus did at the cross. And it's not just that, there's more to it than that, because the cross is confirmed to us here glorious, because it's always been heaven's plan. You know, why Moses and Elijah? These are two men of the Old Testament, and they're saying that the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way up to Luke, is all about Jesus. It's all heading to Jesus and the cross. That is heaven's plan to save our worlds, is what happened to Jesus at the cross and in his resurrection. The curtain is pulled back, and we need to listen to Jesus. Friends, when it's tough to listen to Jesus, when it's tough to take up your cross, when it's tough to deny yourself, remember that the cross is the way. The cross and glory are intimately connected. The day of the cross, with all its blood and all its gore and all its horror, seems a long way from the glory of that mountain, didn't it? But it was nonetheless connected to the glory of that mountain. And when it's tough, friends, you need to see the glory of the cross. You need to get your heads afresh around the fact that the cross is the way that sinners like us are forgiven, we're rescued, exodused, and we are seated in glory with Christ. We have assurance of glory that is to come. And for some of you here this morning, this is perhaps the moment where you need to listen to heaven's command for the first time. Listen to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who tells you to repent and believe. Come to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and be assured of glory. So when it's tough to follow Jesus, we have to see his glory. When it's tough to follow Jesus, you have to see the glory of his cross. And then finally, when it's tough, you need to see the glory that is to come. I'm a huge fan of a TV series called Spooks. I probably shouldn't be, and you can feel free to rebuke me afterwards, but it's kind of like an MI5 drama type thing. It's really cool. But the thing is, when they were about to release their last series, they did this really annoying thing on TV, which is, I won't tell you what happens in the series, but they did this really annoying thing, which is they'd flash up pictures of the Spooks characters for like 3 seconds, and then they'd disappear. And you'd be like, what just happened? You know, you're watching a bit of TV, and then like in between programs, they'd show you a little bit of the program, and then they'd start to put little longer snippets in, and you'd be like, I want to see more. I want to see, you know, if you're loving this series, these little tasters of the new series that were to come were great. And you'd be watching thinking, no, don't stop. Because you wanted the glory that was to come. You wanted the better thing. Now, when it's tough now, this mountain moment, friends, is a taste of the glory that is to come for those who follow Jesus. Just look at verse 26 of our passage we looked at last week. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. You see, there is a glory coming. The glory of this mountain will one day be a glory that is permanent. It is the glory of Jesus returning to earth. And here on this mountain moment, we get just a glimpse afresh of the glory that's to come. The glory of Jesus. Now you may be thinking, actually, I'm not sure I want to just sit on a mountain with bright shining things around me. That doesn't sound very fun. But actually, it's here the glory of Jesus, the Son of God, reigning perfectly. And that's why Peter says, and I love it, Master, it's good for us to be here. Of course it is. Absolutely, he's got it spot on. Master, it's brilliant. We love being here. We love this glory. We love this moment. This is what we want. We want just to be in your presence, Jesus, with all your splendor, with all your greatness. That's where we want to be. And it's so good. What does Peter want to do? What does he want to do? What's that? put up a tent. He wants to stay there. Let's build some tents. Let's hang out here for a while. This is brilliant. Do we have to go down the mountain? Life down the mountain's rubbish. Jesus, you're going to suffer down there, and we're going to, you have to go to a cross down there, and you've just told us that we have to suffer down there, but up here, it's good. Let's put up some shelters. Let's make it permanent. Let's hang here. And do you know what he says to Jesus? Shall we put up some shelters? Does Jesus answer his question? No, he doesn't. But there is an indirect answer. There is an indirect answer, and it is this. Not now, Peter. Not now. Glory will come. One day we will get to put up some shelters on the mountain. We will get to bask in the glory of Jesus. We will get to hang with him forever in his glorious splendor as king. But not now, Peter. Not now. Now I have to go down a mountain. Now I have to go to a cross. Now you have to follow me. Now you have to listen to me. But the glory will come. And look at verse 36. It's an amazing ending to the story in some ways. When the voice had spoken, this cloud, what happens? They found themselves alone with Jesus. The glory's gone. The veil's put back on. It's the same Jesus. Same glorious Jesus. But this is the Jesus who has to now go down a mountain and walk the road to the cross. But seeing the glory to come helps Peter to listen to this command, doesn't it? Why should you listen to Jesus? Why should you keep listening to Jesus when it's tough? Because here, the mountain moment shows you the glory that's to come for those who listen to him. Life down the mountain can be tough. But Peter, I'm just going to go here again because Peter loves this incident. But he describes in one of his letters that actually he wakes up and he realises, do you know what, I was a bit of a wally. I said, should we put up some shelters? I wanted to stay at the top of the mountain. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. And he says, actually, look, we've got to walk the path Jesus walked. He got it. He got that he had to walk the road of suffering to glory. That was Jesus's path. And that is the path of followers. Suffering to glory. Life down the mountain can be tough. Agreed? Do you agree with that? I'm not just making that up, am I? Life down the mountain can be tough to follow Jesus. When your friends don't follow him, when you've got the pulls of life on you, when it's tough to just obey him, it's tough for some of us because actually some of us may be sitting here thinking, I just don't believe that the cross is the kind of a glorious rescue. It just looks like a terrible failure. But actually when it's tough to follow Jesus, when it's tough to keep going, friends, take hold of this story and eat it. Eat it because it is something that will do you good this week to see his glory, the glory of the cross and the glory to come. And then we can listen to the command. Listen to Jesus. Keep going, friends. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together.